Podcasting from the Deep Sage 9 Observatory in the high desert near Taos, New Mexico, this is the Deep Sage 9 Starcast. Welcome to Episode 2 for the week of April 27th, 2025. I'm your host, Jay Schaefer. Let's take a look at the astro events calendar for this week. Looking at space weather from spaceweather.com, although there are an extraordinary 12 sunspot groups visible on the sun, solar activity seems to be in a lull this week so far. The chance for significant geomagnetic storms and aurora over the next 48 hours is forecast at 15% for mid-latitudes and 30% for higher latitudes. So tonight, April 27th, is a new moon. And of course that means that it's dark skies. And so if you have your weather has clear skies, it's an excellent night to get outside and enjoy the stars. Monday morning, look for Venus just before dawn, as it is at its most brilliant for the whole year. Venus also has phases just like the moon. And if you look through binoculars, you can even see that the Venus is a waxing crescent right now. And then looking forward to next Sunday, May 4th, will be the first quarter moon. You may also see some of the Eta Aquarii meteors, but Monday the 5th and Tuesday the 6th are the peak nights. That's our calendar for this week. Let's take a look at some astro news. There's a news discovery of carbonates on Mars that could solve a big mystery. The Curiosity rover has found deposits of carbonates on Mars's Gale crater. It's evidence for an ancient carbon cycle and could explain what happened to Mars's atmosphere. A global reservoir of carbonates would indicate that much of Mars's early carbon dioxide became trapped in its rocks as the planet cooled and its atmosphere thinned. Some of the carbon dioxide could have also escaped into space, but most of it might have simply gone into the ground. Solar wind may produce water on the moon. A new NASA study has found strong evidence that a solar wind constantly fired out by the sun produces water on our moon. So solar wind is made up of high-energy protons and a plasma state, and they are simply hydrogen atoms without their electrons. And simulations have shown that when a proton hits the moon's surface, it should collide and combine with an electron, forming a hydrogen atom. And then when you've got hydrogen, all that's left to make H2O is the O, oxygen. And the moon has that in abundance. The moon's rocky soil, known as regolith, is made up of about 45% oxygen, bound up in minerals like silica. So scientists have theorized since the 1960s that the solar wind hitting the moon's surface could create hydrogen, which then could bond with oxygen and form hydroxyl, OH, and and in turn, water. To lend credence to this theory, scientists have used two samples of lunar material collected by the Apollo 17 astronauts in 1972. The test involved using a particle accelerator to subject the material to the equivalent of a solar wind, and they found that the radiation did indeed form hydroxyl and water. United Launch Alliance Atlas V rockets are to launch the Kuiper 1 satellites. The inaugural launch of Amazon's Project Kuiper will use the United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket to deliver the first satellites into the constellation of the low Earth orbit. Project Kuiper is Amazon's low Earth orbit satellite broadband network, meant to compete with Starlink by SpaceX. Its mission is to provide fast, reliable internet to customers around the world, including those in unserved and underserved communities, using a constellation of more than 3,200 satellites. It should be noted that Starlink already has over 7,000 working satellites in orbit as of today. What does it mean when we talk about the moon's phases? In today's Astro Academy segment, have you ever wondered why the moon seems to morph through different shapes in the night sky? Well, these aren't random transformations. They're predictable phases driven by the moon's orbit around the Earth and how sunlight illuminates it from our perspective. Let's start at the beginning, like tonight, with a new moon. This is when the moon is between the Earth and the sun. The sunlit side of the moon faces away from us, so it's largely invisible from Earth. It's there, it's just not shining in our night sky. As the moon continues its orbit, a sliver becomes visible. This is the waxing crescent. Waxing means growing, so each night the sliver gets a little bit bigger. About a week after the new moon, like next Sunday, we will see a first quarter moon. At this point, the moon has completed about a quarter of its orbit around the Earth, and we see exactly half of its sunlit side. And since it's in the first quarter, we see the right half being illuminated in the evening sky. The illuminated portion continues to grow into a waxing gibbous moon. Gibbous means more than half illuminated. And then about 2 weeks after the new moon, we arrive at the full moon. The entire face of the moon visible to us is lit up, shining brightly in the night sky. But wait, there's more. As the moon continues its journey, the illuminated portion starts to decrease. We enter the waning gibbous phase. Waning means shrinking. Next, we see the third quarter moon, also sometimes called the last quarter. And just like the first quarter, we see half the moon illuminated, but this time it's the opposite half, the left side, and we see it in the morning. The illuminated sliver continues to shrink into the waning crescent until finally it disappears into another new moon and the cycle begins anew. So the next time you look up at the night sky and see the moon in one of its many forms, it's all part of a beautiful and predictable cosmic dance. Coming up next in Astro Tips, satellite spotting for fun. Today we're diving into a super fun and surprisingly easy activity, satellite spotting. Forget complicated telescopes for a moment, because you can actually see these incredible human-made objects zipping across our night sky with just your own two eyes from the comfort of a chaise lounge, or better yet, a hot tub. Now, the first thing to understand is these aren't flying saucers with blinking lights. Satellites themselves don't have exterior lights. What you're witnessing is reflected sunlight. One of the easiest satellites to spot is the International Space Station, or the ISS. This massive orbiting laboratory has huge reflective solar panels that catch a ton of sunlight, making it appear as a bright, steadily moving star in the night. There are several other bright satellites, including the Hubble Space Telescope and the Tiangong Space Station. These are even visible in urban and suburban night skies. You might also see a Starlink train, a long parade of moving lights across the night sky. When SpaceX launches a fresh batch of Starlink satellites, they're released in a line and continue along the same contiguous path as the satellites gain altitude. Once they reach their targeted height, the satellites go in their separate directions. If you want to see a Starlink train, your best chance is during the next few evenings or mornings after a launch. And you can Google when Starlink satellites are being launched. So how do you actually do it? Well, here's spotting method number one, the chill approach. About 45 minutes after sunset, grab a comfy chair, or maybe a blanket if it's chilly, or my favorite, hop in a hot tub, and just gaze upwards. Let your eyes adjust to the darkness and simply watch the stars. Within a few minutes, you might see a star that's not twinkling, but instead smoothly gliding across the sky. Remember, airplanes have flashing lights, and so that's an easy giveaway. Satellites, on the other hand, are a steady point of light that move in a straight line. Now, if you want to get a little bit more specific, we move on to spotting method number two, the targeted approach. This takes a little bit of planning, but it's super rewarding when you spot a particular satellite that you've been tracking. There's some fantastic online tools out there that can help you find your favorite satellite. Yes, even those secretive spy satellites. The most popular site that shows satellite passes over your location is heavensabove.com. I'll put a link in the description. So whether you prefer the relax, let the universe surprise you method, or you're keen to hunt down specific orbiting objects, or to confirm what you saw as a satellite, satellite spotting is a fantastic way to connect to the cosmos. It's free, it's accessible, and it's a reminder that there's a whole world of human ingenuity silently sailing above us every single night. I want to thank you all for checking out this podcast. Please comment, like, and subscribe, and let me know what you'd like to hear more about. You can also check out my Skylapser.com website and Facebook page for live view cameras from the DS9 Observatory, astrophotos, time lapses, and additional content. The intro music for the podcast is Fanfare for Space by Kevin MacLeod from the YouTube Audio Library. From the Deep Sage 9 Observatory, this is Jay Schaefer wishing you all clear skies.